I couldn't film because I was in the water. So anyway, but I saw several people. So we'll get that on there. Hopefully maybe next week we can show that. All right, well, we're going to read the verses in Galatians that we're going to be in. I think we'll finish Galatians next week. And we're either going to preach Genesis or Matthew 24 and 25, the great chapter about the coming of the Lord. So I've been praying and just not settled yet. Maybe we'll just do both. How's that? So Galatians 6, 7 through 10, again, hear God's word. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. May God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. Father, this is Your Spirit's book, the heart of God, Your heart, shared down to us, preserved all these years through all eternity. We pray the Spirit's work would touch our hearts today and help us to see the importance of the Word of God, the unadulterated gospel of Christ, as we live in a world opposed to it. And we pray this by faith, trusting You'll do a work in Christ's name. Amen. Cannot outperform Jesus. His work did it all. You grow what you plant. Pretty simple, right? Pretty straightforward, very scientific. The scientific crowd will love that. You grow what you plant. You know, the very first thing Satan did when he encountered God's creation after he had been kicked out of heaven was to attack what? To attack God's words. That's the very first thing that Satan did. And his plan has not changed. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, Satan said to Eve, "Did God actually say that?" Doubt. Chapter 3, verse 4, "You will not surely die." Flat out denial. God said you'll die. In fact, the Hebrew is, "In dying, you will die if you will disobey God." And he just flat out denied it. "You're not going to die." In chapter 3, verse 5, he said, "You will become just like God." Well, there's an essence of truth there. God knows good and evil, but God knows good and evil in absolute purity and holiness. We know good and evil because we're evil. So that was distortion. So the very first thing, Satan began to attack God's word, doubt, denial, and distortion. Satan's plan has never changed. It will not ever change. God's plan has never changed, and God's plan will not change. God's word is what is life-changing. His very breath, His heart is His word. And if God came down today, and some people say, if I could just have Jesus sitting right in front of me and give me the answers and tell me what to do, He would say nothing more than what He has given us in His book. Because this is what He has decided for us to have to please Him until He takes us home or He returns by the trumpet sound. Amazing thought, isn't it? Everything we need is right here. God's life-changing word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But what does Satan say? Did God really say that? Because Satan knows that life comes from the Scriptures. So he would do everything he can to discourage us from the Scriptures, to take us away from the pure gospel. You won't die. Did God really say that? In fact, all through Scripture, and we've read these several times over the past years, in Deuteronomy 32, God said, "It is not an empty word for you, but it is your very life. By this word you shall live long in the land that you are going over to the Jordan to possess." That was symbolic for eternal life. Joshua 1, verse 7 and 8, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will find your way prosperous. We read Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scorners. But what is his delight? In the law of the Lord. And in it he meditates day and night. We bring up Matthew 7 all the time when Jesus contrasted, how are you going to build your house? Are you going to build it on sand, or are you going to build it on the words of Christ? The same storm comes. If you build your house on sand, it will come, and great the storm will come, and great will be the destruction of it. Great was the fall of it, Jesus said. But if you built it on Christ's words, on God's word, when the exact same storm comes, you will be founded on the rock, and it will not fall, and you will not fall. So all from Genesis all the way to the very end, we see this word of God that is so important. But we see Satan always attacking the Word of God. But what is our human heart bent to? Our human heart is bent towards following the enemy and his wicked plan. So what happens? What does the human heart do? They only listen to those who they want to hear. They only listen to, if I don't want to hear what you have to say, I won't come, I won't be there, I won't listen to you, I won't turn on that channel, whatever it is, I won't be in your presence. We only want to listen to those who say what we want to hear. We will also seek teachers and preachers that will only say what we want to hear. And we will reject teachers who do not satisfy our passions for self and sin. Paul said this, there is a time coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but they having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will wander into myths. The word wander there in the Greek is planeo. We get our word planet. And if you just look at the planets, they look like they're just wandering, although they're in God's design, doing exactly what God has designed them to do. That's why they picked the word planet. So if you accumulate only teachers who say what your selfish heart wants to hear, my selfish heart wants to hear, we will turn away from truth and we will wander into myths, mythology, lies, man-made imagination. So Paul in Galatians continues his thought of where we were last week in verse 6 with providing for those who teach you the Word of God. Now the false teachers were the ones the Galatians were listening to, who were denying and distorting and causing doubt on the Word of God. So Paul begins and kind of continues this section saying that you must put yourself with people who actually teach and preach, proclaim and counsel the actual Word of God. So first of all, we've got the providing, which is kind of a reminder of last week. Look at verse 6. And remember the importance of God's Word. That's why I went through all those at that beginning. Let the one who is taught. So the people who are taught the Word of God by those whom God has raised up to teach the Word of God, let the one who is taught the Word share all good things with the one who teaches. And this is the verse where, you know, when you preach it, then people say the preacher is just preaching it to get a raise or to get more money or to get the church to give them a brand new car. And anytime, there have been times in the past when I've come across texts like this and I was accused, you just wanted a raise. One time somebody said that and the new budget came out, this was years ago, and they put a raise and I took it out. Because I did the budget, I typed it all up. And during the actual business meeting, one of the deacons said, where's the raise we gave you? And I actually said in the meeting, well, someone accused me of preaching for wanting money, and I do not do that. I have never done that. By God's grace, I never will. So I took the raise out. So I think it made a profound point. And so, but the truth is here. But I think if we understand the reason why God said this, we'll understand it. He's saying here is, the Word of God is so important. I have raised up preachers who can know the Word, who have time to study the Word, You provide so that they can do that. Why? Because it's so important. It's so important to hear the Word of God and to have people that can study the Word and know the Word. That's why he said that here. You who were taught, share all good things with the one who teaches. In fact, isn't it interesting in Titus, one of the qualifications for a preacher is he must hold firm to the trustworthy word as he was taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So here is how Paul is saying this. God's word is so important and truthful to go against these false teachers who are dragging you away from the gospel, who are causing you to bite and devour one another, who are causing you to live a performance-driven life rather than a gospel grace-driven life. You must provide for the teachers I gave you because you need my words. You need somebody. Now, you are to be in the Word yourself, right? You can read it yourself. You can study it yourself. But don't you find times when you just need somebody who's called of God to explain it, to have time to study it through and to see how this connects with this, and this verse connects with this paragraph, and this paragraph connects to the other paragraphs? And a lot of them are on TV, right? And I've met them personally when I worked at an airport for years. And I've seen gold rings on every finger and the fanciest of you know whatever. And just the preacher is not there for money, but he cannot do his job without being provided for. That's what Paul says. And why is he needed? What does he need to be provided for? So that he can speak to the congregation the words of God. Now, let's move on to the second point here. So that's the providing. We're providing the best we can. And I think years ago, maybe people brought chickens for the preacher, right? Chickens or eggs or, you know what? Hey, here's a side of beef I killed him, you know, whatever. However it works in whatever culture, that's how it works. So the preacher could study. And now Paul moves into, and I try to make all these with P words to help kind of follow a little bit, the pasture. P-A-S-T-U-R-E. Verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now, this has specific meaning in this context. If I sow false teachers, if I provide for false teachers, if I, give my money and my talent and times to false teachers, that's what I'll sow. That's what I'll reap. That's my pasture. But it also has an overall general meaning that covers all of life. What you reap, so you will reap. But in the main context here, Paul is saying the Word of God, stick to it, put yourself under people that know the Word, teach the Word, preach the Word, who have the best motives as they can, even as fallen sinners. But if you put in your field, you read false books, you read false teaching, you listen to false preachers on the radio or TV, it will affect you. It'll get in your field, your ground. And you will do what verse 8 says. You will wander off into myths and corruption. And we'll get to that verse in a second. This is a non-reversible law. Whatever we plant, we grow. It's a non-reversible law physically. Whatever seed we plant, it will grow. One of my manager, when I worked and pastored at the same time in Illinois, always every whatever planting season would put these beautiful flowers right as people walked into the airport office, and we wanted to go get a cucumber and plant a cucumber right in the middle there, just so that just and not say a word, just watch him come out. What was that? I didn't remember doing that. But I was thinking of this. My grandfather managed a Purdue University farm in Johnson, Indiana for, 30, 35 years, something like that, for a lot of years. And I remember as a kid, I would go up there as much as I could. And I remember there were times, I guess they were professors, doctors, people with PhDs would come. There'd be five or six men that would come, and they'd stay at the farm. I don't know how many days. A few times they were there when I was there. And I can guarantee you, as they grew mostly cantaloupes and watermelons, Never once did my grandfather have to call Purdue University and say, yes, it's Charles Sims, Purdue University Farm and Johnson. You need to send a team down here right away. Our watermelon seeds are growing tomatoes. Our cantaloupe seeds are growing turnips. Get them down here right away. Helicopter, airplane, get them down here. Can you imagine if he got up in the morning and he went out there to the watermelon field and a bunch of turnips? Now, I like turnips. I miss Lee, and he's because Lee was my provider of turnips, Lee Sherritz. Never once. Why? Because it's a physical law. Whatever seed we put in the ground grows. Now, we know it needs to be watered and has to have sunlight and all that, but if you plant a daisy, I don't know my plants, a sunflower's not going to come up. If you plant a rose bush, you're not going to get a gardenia bush. I know that. And it's the same true spiritually. Whatever seed we plant in our heart and mind, it will grow. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. It will grow. False teaching, it will grow. You listen to somebody that all they tell you is doubts, 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 doubt will grow. What we put in our mind and heart will grow. Hatred, bitterness, pride, lust, selfishness, anger, jealousy, entitlement, I deserve everything. Sinful philosophies, unbiblical actions, sin of any kind. Whatever you're putting inside your field will grow, your pasture. It will grow. Let's see, I spent 30 hours in video games this week. And 20 seconds in the Bible when the preacher read it on Sunday morning. What's going to grow? You seen video games? My goodness. You just kill anybody and they come back to life, right? Or I spent this much time doing this. How much time did you spend in God's Word this week? Compare. Been nice little tests to do. And so Paul simply said here in our verse 7, don't be deceived. Planeo. Same word, wander. Don't wander into error. It was used of sheep going astray. I saw a video on social media, and there was a big old crack in the earth, and this big old fat sheep was right in the middle of the crack. And this guy was grabbing his leg and you know, and the music's, the intense music's playing. He finally got that sheep out of that crack, and oh, it's a joyous occasion. Guess what that sheep did? He ran about 6 steps and boom, he jumped right over into that crack. It was great. I mean, it was bad. It was really kind of funny. But that's what this, don't be a sheep who's just led astray. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Mukterizo is the Greek word. It's interesting. This word, do not be mocked, has the idea in the Greek of turning your nose up to somebody, to sneer at, a sign of contempt, to consider something worthless. So God said it. I don't believe it. I don't follow it. I fill in my pasture what he said not to fill in. I amount for myself teachers that say what I want to hear because it makes me feel good. We are mocking God. We are showing contempt to God. We are showing disrespect to God. To be able to say, I can do what I want, listen to what I want, teachers I want, run my life as I want, don't need God's words, I can handle it, is actually mocking God. And Paul said, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. You cannot put your nose up in the face of holiness and win. Nobody has fought God and won. Never. Absolutely not. Why? What's the principle? For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. An unalterable principle. So what are the two fields that we reap and that we are to sow in? Well, I think they go back to the flesh in chapter 5 and eternal life, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. So if you go back to chapter 5, verse 19, this is what we can sow in our field. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you, as those who live in those things will not go to heaven. Now, believers can commit those sins, but But this is talking about people, this is their life. They don't fight it. They're not convicted. People that this is their life, they're showing they're not God's children. So that's the one field that we can put seed in. All of those. Jealousy, rivalries, dissensions, anger, fighting, drunkenness. By the way, we learned this week, never go to an Otters game on Thirsty Thursday. I did not know that. We got free tickets as we walked in, and man, there was over 6,000 people there, and it was Thirsty Thursday, which means I guess beer was half price, which made them, what, $4 or $5 a can or something like that. Man, you'd have to have six jobs to afford that. But anyway, we left early so we wouldn't have a Thirsty Thursday hit my Ford Escape, right? Wow. But what's the other field? It's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the two pastures that we can fill our lives with. And whatever we put in there will grow. Oh, it might be slow, but it'll grow. So we're always putting seed into one of these two fields, and the seeds are always growing. So if you're angry, you've put a seed there. So you need to go back and figure out, okay, what's the seed? Why am I angry? Why am I? And I'll admit, there's still some bitterness in my life. I still deal with it, where people have, I believe, did me wrong, or I think they did me wrong, and maybe they didn't, and I still deal with that. And so why do I still deal with it? Because I put seed in my heart about that. And we're all the same, right? Nobody's arrived. Rivalries, strife, idolatry, you worshiping anything more than Christ? Sure you are. I mean, I don't need to be a genius to figure that out, because we're sinners. We're saved, but we still struggle. So what's the result? Look in verse 8. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So, if I seek out sources of teaching and philosophies that fill my fleshly desires, then I will reap what the Scriptures say, corruption. And the Greek word means a growing decay, a rottenness, a decomposition. Even if it sounds good and looks religious, like these people did in the Galatians. It is a process that at first may not seem too noticeable, but it's there. Do you know the minute a person dies, immediately your body starts to tear down, break down? Immediately bacteria begin to eat. Well, it's not good. Let me just put it that way. I was called to a home of a deceased man who had been dead for several days. They weren't sure how many days. This place was so bad that the deputy coroner had to go outside and get sick on his porch. It was so bad. We put on shoe covers, arm covers. I had the best mask that I got from the hospital that I saved, or I probably would have been on the porch as well. I cannot describe for you what I saw, and I won't describe for you what I saw. You would not believe it. What was going on? Decomposition. His body began to break down. That's this word. There was no life in him, and it began to break down. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap a breaking down. And people live in fear, and they live in worry, and they want to hide themselves away in a closet somewhere and not face life. And look back. What are you putting in your pasture? Putting something there. And then they begin to get worse and worse and worse, just like the Bible says. It's not always as obvious as the guy I saw in the living room, but it will become like that. And even believers at times can act like there's no life in them. Don't you wake up every day just glowing? Man, you got up 45 minutes earlier just to be in the Scriptures. Man, you couldn't wait. You even skipped your coffee. and went right to the Word of God, you know. I did a horrible thing a couple days ago. No, not that horrible. I turned the air conditioning off upstairs. You know, because we haven't been up there lately, and I've been studying, been able to study at the funeral home the last few days, which is nice. So I go up there this morning about 5:30. I put a fan right on my trumpet stand next to me. I got to get a better fan. My shirt is like soaked through. You know, this is horrible. I don't know why I'm telling you that illustration. I hate it when I do that. Doggone it. Oh, yeah. Because you went upstairs. You skipped a coffee and went upstairs. And I said, man, I got to leave. So I came here. packed everything up. I was dying. Yeah, I mean, you just wake up every day and you're just on top of the world, right? I mean, somebody at work says, good morning, Nancy. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Is that what now, somebody might fall over if you said that. Or maybe it's, good morning, Nancy. Yeah, right. Yeah, right? Yeah. Man, I'm so glad I'm at my job today. God gave me this job and God's provided for me. Hey, good morning, Tim. Yeah, just get out of my face. Or whatever, right? The point is, we don't always wake up every day just thrilled, right? And just, wow, this is what I get to face today. We still struggle. We have not arrived. But the reason we struggle many times is because of what we sow in our pasture. Believers can fail. Believers can commit the sins of chapter 5. They can't live in them, but they can commit them. If I seek out sources and teaching that are purely the Word of God, then I have confidence that I have eternal life. Now, do you see that in verse 8? We can reap corruption. Now, for an unbeliever, the corruption will be eternal life in the lake of fire. Eternal death, rather, in the lake of fire. That will be the ultimate corruption. A believer can deal with corruption and not be as strong in areas and joy and love and display the fruit of the Spirit. But our result of our field when we obey God's Word and surround ourselves with teachers of God's Word and we follow it by faith and we seek God's help is eternal life. When you die, eternal life. Not because you earned it, because that simply proved God gave it to you. But eternal life is not just duration. Anytime we think of eternal life, we always think of what? Length. And that's true. But eternal life is also quality of life. Quality of life. Those things of Galatians 5, love and joy and peace, it's like living a little bit of heaven down here on earth. And patience and kindness. And the wonderful thing about the fruit of the Spirit is you and I fail all the time. We simply confess and then we can possess it again. I like 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. This shows that I am a follower of God. I truly am a child of God, that I truly love Him. I keep His commandments. I put teachers around me that teach the unadulterated Word of God in context, in biblical theology. How does it fit in the Old? How does it fit in the New Testament? That protects us from going on the deep end. And His commandments are not burdensome. Why? Because we love Him. So then we will see the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives. Our field will be full of the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh. So the question is, which pasture do we belong and which pasture are we planting in? I guarantee you, if you can see anything in your life, you got angry, you got bitter, whatever, you can look back and you can find something you planted in your heart that made you think you deserve this or deserve that. Now, he goes on with this thought. Two more points. Verse 9, the perseverance. And I like how he put verse 9 there because, well, let's read it. And let us not grow weary of doing good. We might say of planting seed. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Why will we reap? Because it's an unavoidable, unalterable law. What you plant, you reap. So when you and I plant something, if you've planted anything, there's one element of planting that can never be removed. And I know there are several. You got to have water, sunlight, you have to have a good soil, you got to go to the store and buy Miracle-Gro, whatever that is. But there's one element that we don't like that cannot be removed. Starts with a W, ends with a G, has an 8 and an N in the middle. Waiting. W-A-I-T-I-N-G. All right. You have to wait, don't you? You go out there, boy, you tilled your field, and it looks so good. The weeds are gone, and it just looks great. The dirt, oh, you smell the dirt. Oh, God's dirt, right? And then you take your little cucumbers or watermelons or tomato seeds or whatever seed that you have, and you put it right where it needs to go. And if you really are sharp and you have different rows of seeds, you take the little packet and you put it on a wooden stake and staple it on there, and you put the stake in the ground so you can go out and say, oh, yeah, that's where I put the watermelons, or that's where I put the... Now, if you're doing watermelon, you better have a whole different field, because those babies just go... And pumpkins, too. Pumpkins just... We grew pumpkins over here once, and I think they ended up at Central High School. I'm not sure. Pumpkins are crazy. Man, they just go everywhere. Yeah, smash them. But you have to what? Wait. Wait. Do you ever go out there and look? Nah, nothing. Go out again? Nah, nothing. Oh, I think I see a little green. Oh my goodness. You how excited you get? Oh, I see a little green spot coming up. You just get, it's like the, I mean, it's amazing. But you have to wait. You have to wait. Persevere. Let us not grow weary of doing good. Doing good. Planting seed. Not to earn, but because it was earned for us. In due season, we will reap if we do not quit. Remember when you were younger and you watched a show on TV? Now, the young ones, they can't fathom this. But like Batman would be on, when it was current, it'd be on one night a week. You had to wait till next week. What was the worst thing you'd see on a show? To be continued. Was that not the most heartbreaking? Well, maybe not heartbreaking, but you know, you're into this show and then, oh, to be continued. And then when they shot JR and we had to wait a whole off season, that's just, who killed JR? Remember that? Oh my goodness. Now what do? You just hit the button and the next show comes on Netflix or whatever. Just ain't right. Don't you love going to the store and seeing 20 checkout lanes and there are two people manning two of them? Of course, now you have to go work yourself and go to the checkout yourself lane, whatever they call that. Yep. And you can order almost anything today and have it on your doorstep tomorrow. It's called Amazon, right? And if you got Prime Amazon, just put your... Put your chair, go out on the deck and sit on the front deck and just wait for Mr. Amazon to show up. He might be there in 10 minutes. You just never know. I was in your neighborhood. I got your order. Here's your plates or whatever. We live in a society that everything's now. And our kids are growing up and you can get it now. You know, when I was a kid, I think we got Dairy Queen. We went to visit my aunt in Kansas because you had one not too far from your house in that one street. And then I think sometimes when we'd go to visit my dad's mom when she moved to Princeton, there was a Dairy Queen brazier. Remember that word? The Dairy, not far. But we didn't go like, you know, now, man, I can go to Dairy Queen every day if I want to, right? Life's good. We don't like to wait. Don't you hate waiting right now for me to get to the point, right? Aren't you just saying, get to the point, my meatloaf's almost ready. Yeah. But when it comes to reaping the harvest, spiritual harvest, what does it require? Waiting. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us not jump ship when it looks like the gospel is not working. Let us not go to find something else to bring in the crowds because the crowds don't like the cross. That's next week's message. in an instant gratifying, in a society that likes instant gratification, walking with Christ is totally different. Because it's easy to grow weary. It's easy to grow weary when you're struggling with anger and worry and strife or maybe jealousy or bitterness. And it's not coming as quick as you want it to come to get rid of it. Because it doesn't come quick. It's a lifelong process. Or what about somebody who was drunkenness and God grabbed their heart and still those temptations come back and the frustrations of that? Or how about the frustrations of sharing the gospel with people and this is rejection, 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 rejection? The comparing of ourselves with other churches, which we're not supposed to do. And then we get weary in well-doing and say, what's the use? Do not grow weary of doing good. Because you have to wait. And waiting is not easy. Waiting is hard. I want the cucumbers to grow, or the pickles, whatever you grow, right now. I want it now. I don't want to wait. But when it comes to these spiritual issues, sometimes it takes time. It can be a long time coming. But what's the foundation? It is making sure you are having the right thing in front of you, and that's the words of God. That's this whole passage, the words of God. You reap what you sow, either God's words or the devil's words, doubt, denial, and distortion. Keep sowing. Keep sowing a lot of seed. If you struggle with thinking you deserve everything, then get in the scriptures and start sowing in your heart the fact that you deserve nothing, that you are nothing, that you owe nothing, that God owes you nothing. It's all of grace, 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 grace. Don't quit. You ever wonder how many times you quit and you were just this far away from God saying, no, here it is, and we jump. All right, the last one. Ooh, I've been going a long time here. Don't you like waiting? One last verse, the period. Now that fits the period, the last point. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Farmers know the right seasons to plant different crops, right? There's a right season. Well, it's always the right season to serve others, especially those who are of the household of faith. It's always the right season to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in your life. It's always the right season to do good. It's always the right season to never quit. It's always the right season to help unbelievers and to love them as well. That's kind of what he's saying here. The qualities of eternal life never have an ending point. So the period or the season of putting true teachers in front of you and growing and planting the right seed and serving and loving others, which the gospel does, remember the other bites and devours, is always. Always. Well, let's land the plane. You've been listening for a while. One Greek scholar said this, and pretty simple. I thought it was pretty good. This is the conclusion. It is vain to think that one can outwit God by reaping a harvest different from that which a person has sown. It is vain to think that one can outwit God by reaping a harvest different from that which a person has sown. It'd be like a guy married five times and he can't figure out why he can't keep his wife. And every time he had an adulterous affair, every single time. I just can't figure it out. I just don't get it. It is stupid to think you can reap a harvest different than what you put in your heart and mind. So just four real quick things I think we need to examine. Examine our, what am I sowing in my mind and heart? What am I putting in there? What am I putting in my mind and heart? Secondly, repent. Crucify what doesn't belong in the Spirit's field. One scholar said, we coddle. Don't coddle, crucify. Be thankful. Be thankful that God loved you enough to show you what you're putting in your heart and mind that shouldn't be there. That's a great thing. And then what's the fourth one? Persevere. No matter how long it takes to grow and change, we will never give up. We'll never abandon the gospel. We'll never abandon God's word and turn to entertainment and drama and, you know, fancy speeches to try to get people pumped up. Persevere. No matter how long it takes to grow and change in your life, don't ever quit. Father, thank you for this amazing book, and thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to show us our sin and how to fix it. By your grace alone, help us to not grow weary in doing good. Help us to never leave the unadulterated gospel that we never performed to earn anything from you, but you performed it all. And may we, Lord, value the word of God as we've intended to value it, that we always put it before us, making it the priority in our life, because Satan always seeks to cause doubt, to deny, and to destroy. So change our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand together and sing.
God of mine, I'll have no idols. Oh, God of mine, come lead the way. Oh, God of mine, I'm greatly humbled. This sinner's heart, you came to save. God of mine, through storm and trial, oh God of mine, through death and grave, oh God of mine, in rest.